today. Yeah, hallelujah. I know sometimes when you're young, those love affairs come and they go, and you get heartbroken, you move on to the next one. But at 12 years old, I fell in love with the Lord, and I've never fell out of love. Amen. God added me a beautiful wife. Amen. Beautiful children. God's been nothing but good to me. Somebody say amen. Anybody here? Say amen. Hallelujah. I mean, why don't we stand to our feet one more time and maybe step out of your pew, shake a couple hands, and tell them you look pretty today. Amen. Can you do that? Hallelujah. Hopefully you won't be stretching it too much. Hallelujah. They say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I think God's people is a beautiful people. Even if our face didn't get designed the way we would like for it to. Hallelujah. Good attitude always makes a lot of who a person is. Would commend you on this beautiful building. Always, every time I come, another piece of the puzzle is put together and everything looks beautiful. The only thing that would make it better is if it was full. Amen. And I believe that if you make a place, God, Noah built an ark and God filled it up. And I think God can do that today. Amen. We honor your pastor, pastor's wife, and Christiana. Amen. All those that are working hard down here. I know we miss them in Walkerton. They were a great, great asset to our assembly. And they will always leave a void while they're away. Amen. But we're glad to see them working so hard for Jesus today. If you have your Bibles, I know you may want to turn there if they have it. I've got several passages of Scripture today I'm going to be referring to, and I didn't know till this morning I was going to be here, so I know what God told me to preach. I might not have all the material put together, amen, just like I would like for it to. But I do have a word from the Lord. Is that good enough for you? Amen. If God tells you something today, will you listen? Amen. I believe that God wants us to be bigger and better and stronger Christians in this last day than we've ever been before. And I think God will empower us to do that. No matter what the obstacle comes, God will bless us. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1 through verse 10, and then Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 is two passages I'm going to read while you're standing. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself. You know, sometimes, how many members when they used to go around and first day of school, I want everybody to introduce themselves and say who you are and maybe a little bit about yourself. And I think when we come to the house of the Lord, we need to tell the Lord, hey, Lord, I'm here tonight. Because God has something for you. It's not always for somebody else. Sometimes it's for you. But the Bible said that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body of Christ and one member of one another. Having then different gifts according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love and honor. preferring one another. And I would like to draw my text today from verse 8. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And I would like to just talk to us for a little while. I think God wanted me to talk to this congregation today about mercy. Amen. Mercy. Hallelujah. Why don't we bow our heads and go to the Lord? Jesus, we thank you today. God, for this so many times, Lord, when we fail, when we stumble, God, when we didn't get it right, God, that your mercy never discarded us, but your mercy, God, reproved us and God made us who we are today, and help us, God, to stand on your unwavering promises, God, to stand by faith, God, to be, God, all that you've called us to be. And everybody said, mercy. Mercy, and you may be seated. The Bible, in one of the Beatitudes, it's very interesting. I probably most impacting time that I really paid attention to the Beatitudes was one of the trips. I was over in Israel and set out there on the hillside where they were first spoken by Jesus himself. And they seemed to echo out across the air and began to become a part of me. And every time I've read them since then, it's been a special probably visitation of God to me. But in verse 7, and I'm not going to go through the whole Beatitudes today, but verse 7, the Bible said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And all of us have been probably around the church or around maybe other people of a group of individuals. And sometimes we don't always get what we think we ought to get. Anybody know that sometimes you may get shortchanged, and sometimes you may say a word with good intentions and think, well, that's going to pick them up, and all of a sudden they get offended at what you just told them. And sometimes we know that every word that's spoken is not always received the same way it's meant when we speak it. And I know sometimes our loved ones, maybe if we invite them to the house of God and say, you know, Jesus is fixing to come, are you ready? Sometimes it may, after a while, become a little dull, and they may think, well, I've heard that before. I called somebody this week and told them, I said, you know, you can always come home. We always have a place for you. And they said, how did I know that was coming? Because I'm a promulgator of mercy, and I think sometimes we get too stuck in our ways that I went too far and I've done too much, and how can God show patience to me? I wish somebody would hear this preacher today, that God not only wants us to show mercy, but we ought to have the biggest heart and gratitude today, because the mercy is God is why we're sitting on this pew, why there's a church in Winnemac, Indiana. It's not all just because somebody wanted, and it was a dreamed up idea. It wasn't God's mercy wanted to flow and extend. Could we give Jesus a hand clap of praise today for all of his mercy and goodness and grace that he showed to us? You know, I pastored 27 years in our city, and sometimes people will disappoint you. Sadly to say, you know, when people come in our church, I put a number 10 on their head, that they're just this good, honest, perfect person. I remember one, we had about, 11 guys living in one house. They were straight out of the world, new converts. And I wondered, well, I don't know how this is going to go. But they moved out of their girlfriend's house, out of their, wherever they were camped out, began to come together and worship. And there was one individual that they would put their lunch money on the table, and all of a sudden they would go back and their lunch money would be gone. And he came to church and got the Holy Ghost. And they said, you know, everybody else knows where the church key is because they come and pray, but you better watch out for Greg. I said, you know what? This is God's church, and God will take care of Greg. And God did fill Greg with the Holy Ghost. That sometimes we'll put marks on people. We'll try to wonder what they're doing and where they're coming from. I tell you, it's not our business to sort out God's people. It's our business to love God's people and reach to God's people and say, you know, there's something in them that God has saw today, and let me reach it. Let me develop it. And I believe that if we look hard enough, we will find what God is reaching for. One of the young men that I pastored, first time he came to our church, I was busy building our building, and, you know, he came, and him and his wife were split up, and his wife came and talked to me, and she said, you know, I'm thinking about taking him back. He's at Potts Camp, Mississippi. He prayed through, and he told me I need to come to this Pentecostal church and get the Holy Ghost. If it's ever a chance, our marriage is going to work. God filled her with the Holy Ghost, and the marriage came back together. I'm glad that God knows how to show mercy sometimes when we don't see it coming. And while I was building the building, I didn't have a lot of personal time to share with Johnny. But, you know, I reached and I worked, and while we was building so hard every day, he fell through the cracks. Always my friend, but he struggled. He seemed like when he got with people that liked to drink, he wanted to drink. When he had problems, amen, with somebody that was doing drugs, he wanted to do drugs. And I wondered, you know, is there any chance from him? And I prayed him through three times while I pastored him. And every time I would reach as far as I could reach, God called him home with cancer. But even before that happened, he told me, he said, "Preacher, I know I'm a failure. I understand that I'm not all that I ought to be." He said, "I know I've got some big issues." And sometimes he said, "But preacher, will you promise me one thing? That you never give up on me. That you'll keep on reaching. That you'll keep on believing. That somehow before God calls me home, that there'll be enough mercy to carry me through this life and get me to the promised land." Can I tell you, our world's full of those kind of people today. This stretches God's grace and mercy so far. Some of you may be married to them or living in your house or related to you today. Can I, this preacher, tell you, amen, have mercy on them and pray that God does too, because God wants to save them. God wants to deliver them. God wants them to be part of his church. Can we praise him one more time? God wants to reach to them today. You know, when Jesus went out on the Mount of Olives to teach the people, it wasn't long till the critics came. You know, you're always going to have critics. Somebody say amen. If you buy a car, buy a Ford, they'll say you should have bought a Chevy. If you buy a Buick, they'll say you should have bought you a Dodge. Somebody's always going to be critical. If you paint your, I remember my wife and I used to get these wild ideas every now and then. We still do. Just not as bad. And I remember we worked all night on it. We had Saturday night church then, and we decided we wanted this brighten up our bedroom. So we got these little wallpaper. It was in style at the time. I think we were out of style and it was in style. But anyway, we worked all night putting that wallpaper up behind our bed, moved the bed up, and about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, we finished that project. And I remember looking at her, and she said, and I said, And I think both of us read the underlying comment. And I don't remember which one of us said it first. She said, "Do you like it?" And I said, "Not really. It makes me dizzy. Them little orange checks, it seemed like it was going to jump out on you." And, you know, I could have went through the thing. You know, you've wanted this long enough, you're going to look at it. Amen. But every now and then you need to show a little mercy. We pulled it down, washed down the wall, and got another gallon of paint. And that was good for us for a long time. Sometimes, amen, winning the battle is not always the objective. Sometimes the Bible says to blessed are the peacemakers. And every now and then it's okay to take wrong from a brother or sister in the church. Still love them and pray for them and believe in them. Amen. And show that God has mercy. And so do we. Amen. But as he's out of the Mount of Olives, he walked out of the temple, came and sat down and taught them. And John 8, The Bible said, and the Pharisees, that's the critics, they came to him and brought this lady in the taken in the very act of adultery. We know the story how all of her accusers sat around there. And it wasn't long till Jesus began to ride in the sand. You know, if you're waiting to say perfect people, you may never get to use all those chairs back there. Because when we come to the Lord, we are a mess. Somebody say amen. How many remembers what you were when you first walked into a church? Amen. I look at Brother Joey back there today. Amen. Looks like a Tennessee lawyer all dressed up and prettied up. I tell you, life is not always that way. But when God puts us together, amen, and makes us complete, we owe God a little bit of gratitude along the way. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we don't understand how God does it. All the critics begin to look, and they want to know what you think about it. I told the evangelist, we just got out of revival, and we talked about how God sometimes settles a story. You know, grace, if we're still breathing, I believe God's grace can help you, and His mercy will reach to you. But I remember my brother-in-law went to South Haven, Michigan, had two little boys at the time, and they slept in an upstairs loft. They put down some mattresses and would bend over till they would get at their bed because he wanted to go do a work for God. And the pastor that had been there before had been caught up in adultery and lost out with God. And this great big burly guy came to him, and Brother Hainer had just walked and just assumed the pastorate, and he walked up to him, and he said, Pastor Hainer, he said, you know what went on here? He says, and he shook his finger in my brother-in-law's face, and he said, I want you to know one thing, this is not going to go away. Brother Hainer was young then. He said, well, Brother Maxwell, he said, God will handle it. Amen. That was his last words. He went on to Cedar Point, had a family vacation. It was already pre-planned. And when he got on his vacation, he didn't have cell phones back then and no communications till he pulled his vehicle back in South Haven, Michigan. And he pulled up and one of the young men that was working at the church. And he said, you hadn't heard the news. He said, the day after you left on vacation, Brother Maxwell fell over dead. They buried him and he's gone. Amen. Sometimes God doesn't always settle the score. Amen. The way we think he should. I tell you, it's time that the church of the living God, amen, learns how to forgive, show mercy, show grace. Amen. To our brothers and sisters sitting on the pew. Amen. Because God will handle the score. After the end of the day, when they asked the question, Lord, what do you say? He said, neither do I command thee. Go thy way and sin no more. Isn't it great when God forgives us? You know, if we tried to have church with people that were always good people, we'd have a pretty small church. Oh, they're school teachers. They're business people. They're the put-together people. Most of them have college degree. But they weren't that when they came. Amen. They were a mess. And now I tell you, I've watched after 18, 20 years, some of them thinks they've got life figured out. And now I don't need church. And now I don't need the preacher. Now I don't need the things of God. Let me tell you, honey, you always need God. And you always need a pastor. And I tell you, if you ever outgrow that, God's mercy will come down on you. And you'll wish to God you'd have fell on your face and said, let mercy prevail in my life, God. Because God is a merciful God. But God sometimes doesn't always put up with our mess. Amen. God wants us to be real. We're not patty caking for Jesus. We're not here because we didn't have any place else to go. I had air conditioning at home and the recliner was calling. But I preached to our church, we don't have recliner ministry. We don't have fishing ministry. We don't have shopping ministry. When the church doors is open, you know where God's people needs to be? The first one there with the hands lifted, creating an atmosphere, sure, somebody, amen, that don't know Jesus, to walk through that door, come down to an altar, and we have an old-fashioned, amen, tongue-talking experience with God. Oh, one more time, let's just do that. Like apostolic people today, He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Colossians, the Bible says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Bowels of mercy. In other words, it's got to come down from deep. Yeah, it's easy sometimes. Oh, don't worry about that $5. You know what I'm talking about? I know I've dealt with some of our young people. Some of the other young people would try on their clothes and take them home. They'll say, I'll bring it back when it gets washed. And it'd been 3 years later. Evidently, they don't do washing very often. Or they're not a person of their word. And sometimes you have misunderstandings. You have things that sometimes rubs you the wrong way. But I tell you, we're not here to play church. We're not here to be the church critic. Amen. We're not here to be the one that says what's wrong with the song or what's wrong. Amen. That we didn't do the right color. We need to come with one thing in mind and one thing only. That the mercy of God saved me and mercy of God brought me out from a world. And who can God reach if I'll get him on the pew sitting beside me? Amen. That's what the mercy of God is all about. You know, sometimes when people really do us wrong, bowels of mercy. I remember my father-in-law, or my dad, was pastoring over in Goshen, Indiana. Had a pretty good-sized church. Had a big group come from another church. The pastor had fell in sin, and he was pastoring them. And Dad had just bought a new car, and the guy came to him and, oh, what you going to do with your old Buick? I mean, that's when it had the vinyl top and all. It was all shiny, and Mom would make it all pretty every week. And he said, well, I'll probably sell it. Oh, can I buy it? I'll pay you every week till I get it paid for. One of those stories. Anybody else have those bad relatives that you never talk about that you say, oh, how much is this going to cost me? And sometimes we wonder. Amen. We've all been there. I tell you, I thank God that Dad pastored him for 2 more years. You know how much he got on that car? Oh, he could have went to the pulpit and blasted him. But he was more concerned about them making it to heaven, that they would find repentance. Was that right? No, it wasn't right. But I tell you, if you receive it wrong, you're just as bad as they are. The Bible said when you give, you should not ask in return. Amen. If you can't afford to lose it, then you shouldn't give it out. Amen. That's the word of God. Amen. Put on as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Amen. And God knows I've had mercy. Amen. Kindness. People will come to this church just because you're kind people. If we get that right and that alone, God can add to the church. Amen. God can do it His way. Humbleness of mind. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you a story. Is it okay? It's just us, and I'm running out of voice. If you keep me screaming and yelling, I'll be out of voice here in a little bit. We had two couples. They came. Neither one of them had a job. Their wives didn't have a job. They were poor. We put money in the van so they could go to church somewhere every night because they were wanting to be in church. Amen. Then they finally, first thing you know, they started out in the door factory just making parts. In less than a year, they were the second highest person in the factory. Isn't it funny how God does that? Amen. God will either bless your finance or you don't want to hear the rest. He'll curse it. And Lord, it's bad enough when it's still blessed. Can you imagine with God puts a curse on it? Bible talks about pockets with holes in it. But I had to deal with them. Because if they wanted to take one of our new converts out, you know, used to it was goulash, it was whatever, it was cheap. Let's eat it up. And now it's either Applebee's or TGI Fridays. Go out and drop $40. And we finally got a McDonald's. We got there before McDonald's did, but we finally got a McDonald's in our city. And they would we would talk about going by McDonald's and having a little fellowship. You're talking about an attitude. Oh, I wouldn't eat that junk. And here's a new convert that don't hardly have two nickels to rub together. Would love to sit down and talk about Jesus for a half hour. Amen. If they didn't, and I tell you, I had to come down pretty hard on them. I said, I remember when you was there. If you don't like anything else but their Diet Coke, amen, you can go be a soul winner. You can have a little fellowship. Show a little mercy on somebody that's been where you're, amen, that you was once at. And that's the will of God for every city. Amen. Not to think more, amen, of ourselves than we ought to. Have a humbleness of mind. Meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgive one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. How many got saved from some mess? How many, if you were saved after probably 10 years old, God saved you from some mess. Amen. So I can tell you today, we owe God a whole lot. You know, when our family first came to church, I remember it was a small church, much smaller than this, about a fourth this size, and just a few people, had about 12 guitars and four accordions and a bunch of happy people that would have stayed at church with you all night long if that's what you wanted to do. They would have prayer meetings at house every night. Oh, they never had bank accounts and cars like ours. They might break down and the windows might blow a little air through. And I tell you, if we got to sacrifice who we are and how we reach our world, amen, and think we've arrived on Big Street, amen, God forgive us and let us find a place and say, God, have mercy on me again and let me reach this world that's hungry for God. I wonder if we could praise Him one more time. God wants to save people. And God wants to show them mercy. Just as He showed us the mercy of God. The Bible said, for scarcely a righteous man would die. Yet peradventure a good man, some would dare die. I know we've had that conversation. What would you do if somebody broke into your house and you're going to attack your wife and your family? It's a no-brainer. Most of us know we would defend our family. Hello? But I tell you, I've never had to pack because I was scared of this world. You know, September 11th, we was on our way to O'Hare Airport to fly to a church dedication. They put it off a couple months. Everybody, oh, I'm not getting back on a plane. I tell you, if you live your life in fear, amen, you will never have a life. Amen. Every now and then we got to say, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And if God takes me to it, God will take me through it. And God's mercy will go every step of the way. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Sister, it don't seem very long ago that I told your pastor, I said, well, if you need anything while I'm gone. He called me the next day. He said, I didn't. How did you know it was going to come so quick? I was down there, walked into your hospital room. Your husband was there. Your family was there. Amen. I don't have to preach too long to show mercy. Amen. Can get you back on a church pew. Amen. That God can let you hang out with your family a few more years. Amen. The mercy of God is the best thing that any of us could ever tap into today. Amen. God's mercy. Amen. It's abundant today. And sometimes we take it for granted. And I don't believe in sloppy grace. Well, I'll go get drunk today and repent tomorrow. The Bible said God knows your thoughts and your intents, and you don't play with God. You can play with the dog. You can play with the neighbors. You can play with your boss. Say, I've got golf fever today or fishing fever today. You can mess with people, but don't mess with God. Amen. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but some of you need to understand that God's mercy, amen, it doesn't endure forever and ever and ever. Every now and then when God reaches us with a word, amen, we need to grasp it, amen, like flypaper and say, God, amen, I know you're speaking to me, and I don't want your mercy to abandon me. I don't want your mercy to leave me. I want your mercy to walk with me, to talk with me, and to go with me day by day by day. By day. Anybody ever felt the mercy of God? Amen. I know some of our young guys. We had second generation, third generation, fourth generation, but the majority of our church by far was first generation. We won them to God. And I would see some of those young men that had told me some horrible stories. When they were little bitty guys, the babysitters would be taking them to bed. They would wake up with a different guy in the bed with their mom every day. And I tell you, first generation, you don't have to beg them to leave sin. They see the ugliness, the scars, the hurts, the burdens. Amen. The price is paid. And sometimes we get on easy street and you know, we have everything we want, the latest phone, and everything's just working. Everything's clicking. And sometimes we think life's always going to be that way. I tell you, when God's grace shows on you, amen, it will make you go farther. God will advance you in your workplace. Hear me. There's nothing wrong with entry-level jobs. If I need a job, I go to work at McDonald's if I needed to. I got in probably most factories from Westville to Goshen to Benton Harbor, to Rochester. And there's no association between how hard people work and how much money they make. Because some of the hardest working people in the world were making minimum wage. I remember my father. He went to school, and in between jobs, And I remember one time things were a little tough, and he came and he told my sister I was making $1.60 an hour. I was hitting it big time back in the day. And he said, you know what? He said, I can't find a job anywhere. And I remember my sister and I bought groceries for a few weeks. And I tell you, there's nothing more humiliating in the world than somebody that's not in the handout mode, amen, to receive mode, amen, to have to take from somebody else. And that last thing we can do, amen, is when we bless somebody or give to somebody, act like, well, they wouldn't have made it this week if I wouldn't have put gas in their car, if I wouldn't have bought them groceries. Just remember where you came from and be that missing link to somebody else. Amen. Life may not always be uphill. Amen, but let me share the best point of this message is that I'm serving a God that'll never leave you, that'll never forsake you. If you're in the hospital, he'll go. Amen, if you're heartbroken, he will go with you. Jesus said, commended his love while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Amen. Let me tell you what contagious revival's all about. It's wild. Everybody say wild. Nobody sleeps. It's sometimes every night. We prayed a witch through from our high school. She had her skull and all of her things. Before that revival was over, she had the whole front pew filled with people in black. And you know what? We prayed every one of them through. Amen. I think that night to the Holy Ghost, she didn't have a clue what she was doing. But I came out of this world. Amen. I don't want to be a part of. Amen. We don't deal with witchcraft in our school anymore. Amen. It wasn't the counselor. It wasn't the police. It was the apostolic church that reached into a home and saved them. Amen. It's prayer meeting. We would have sometimes drama practice. Some of those young men would grab somebody. Hey, I brought Bob or Kurt or Billy with us. He wants the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our part's not for a while. Can we go in the prayer room and pray him through to the Holy Ghost? That's what I'm talking about. The mercy doesn't know Sunday morning, Sunday night. Amen. Wednesday night or prayer meeting. I baptized people at 2 a.m. I prefer doing that during the day. But sometimes God doesn't wait till the daylight hours. Amen. There's time God's reaching for your family. That God's reaching for your kids. There's nothing like crawling out of your bed, pawing yourself in the covers and say, God, I don't know what's going on, God. I don't understand. I don't get it, God. But I know your mercy can reach my kids. I know it can reach my husband. Is there anybody here today that has tested God's grace and found out it never leaves you? When we're hurting, he's there by our side. When we're in pain, he's a comforter. He's a peacemaker. Oh, can we stand to our feet? I think it would be a good time if somebody would find their place around this front. Say, God, your mercy certainly, God, visited my home. God, your mercy's visited my family. God. God, your mercies visit my church. God, don't let mercy depart. God, let your mercy and grace follow me all the days of my life. Oh, is there somebody today who wants to go home more than just a regular Sunday service? God's in the house. Oh, would you come? God bless those that are coming. I think it would be good if all of us would bow a knee somewhere today. It's not about the preaching. It's not about the music. It's a word from Jesus. Oh, would we embrace it today? Would we embrace it today? Oh, God's in the house. God's in the house. Oh, I would love to leave here drunk in the Holy Ghost. I would love to leave here, amen, just saturated with the love and the mercy of an almighty sovereign God. Oh, let the prayers go up today. And the rain will come down. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. La, 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 la. Oh, lift your voices to Jesus. Lift your voices to Jesus. He's in the house. He's your best friend. He'll stick closer than a brother. He'll pick you up when you're down. God, your mercy. God, your mercy. God, your mercy is sufficient, God. There's somebody that needs something special here today. There's a church family that will get behind you. They will believe God for your miracle. They will believe God for your battle, your fighting. He's a victorious God. God, you're worthy. God, you're worthy. God, you're worthy. God, you're worthy. Oh, mighty God. Holy God. Holy God. Never received the Holy Ghost, it's here today. Never been baptized in Jesus' name, that's the plan of God for you. God, we need you. Holy God, holy God. Oh, let's not be in a hurry. Let's get saturated with the Spirit today that's in this house. God wanted you to understand the reason you're still standing today is only by the mercy and the grace that God so freely gave each and every one of us here today.
In the presence. Stand all across this house right now. Can we lift our hands in unison in one mind and one accord in this place? Say thank you for your mercy, Jesus. I didn't deserve it, but you gave it anyway. Thank you for your mercy, God. I didn't deserve anything you've given me, God, but I stand here in all of your mercy and all of your grace, God. Where would I be if it weren't for what you've done in my life, God? Where could I go if it weren't for to the Lord? Where else did I have to turn? Where else would I find the answers? Where else would I find hope in my life? Where else would I find the things that would bring true happiness, God? There's no place. I searched high. I searched low, but I couldn't find it. And you were there all the time, waiting patiently, God. And you were there with the mercy that I needed. You put purpose back in my life, God. You put joy back in my life, God. You put love back in my life, God. I was lost and undone, God, but you found me and you put something back in my soul. You put life back in me, God, when the world had sucked it out of me. You put something inside of my spirit, God, that I didn't deserve, but now I'm standing before you just to say thank you, God. 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 Some of you know what that mercy is all about. Some of you know what that grace is all about. Some of you know what it is to be lost and separated and undone. God still loves you when the world had given up on you, when the world had walked away, when the world says they'll never amount to anything. God says they will to me because I bought that life. I chose that vessel and they're my child and I'll never give up on them. And it doesn't matter how far they run. Some of us have experienced the hog trough. Some of us have experienced the beggarly things of this world. And when you come back to God, he was standing on the porch waiting for his child to come home and love you just as much as the day you walked out on him. He'll continue to do that as long as you don't ever give up on him. He'll never give up on you. Can we love him one more time all across this house? Thank you, Jesus.